expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com. Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Welcome one more time to the Mike Radio Show here at www.mikebroadcastdv.com. We also welcome to Mike Live, and we're so glad that this is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing and I'm glad in it. I want to speak to a subject today. This is not SITU. This is a regular insight I want to share with my congregation and to those watching me all around the world, all around the nation. I want to simply call this lowering the violent crime in your area. And I want to deal with a spirit of religion and a spirit of kingdom understanding. And this is something I want to just share some statistics with you. And I want to share with you some stuff I started on Mike Live and started on AI 237. I want to continue to talk about this and why the impact of the type of church that you believe impacts your society. I was sitting with a woman of God a few years ago, and I was discussing with her quite honestly that I was disappointed in the type of violent crime that's in the city that I lived in. And this was her response. She says, well, you know, this is the last days, and that stuff will never change until Jesus Christ returns. And so she gave me the understanding that the only way the community could improve if Christ returns, I guess, for the rapture, or we're supposed to leave here. But it didn't sit right with me, right? And so the answer she gave me was like, it's going to get worse. We just got to hold out and hold on. And hopefully when Christ comes back, he'll make it all right. Right now, sounds cool to some people, but that bothered me. Because that seemed to be the mindset of a lot of Christians, that nothing is going to get better until Christ raptures us, or they call it the second return of Christ. As you know, I'm headed for a topic on this whole thing about rapture and about the return of Christ. And I think we take that rapture message a little bit too far. It violates our ability to operate in kingdom. So she told me that the only way things are going to change is when Christ finally returns. And then I started looking at some of the townships that's in New Jersey who don't have any violent crimes at all. Like right now, Bernard's Township in New Jersey has a crime rate of over 10,000 people of no crime. There's no crime. In their township, there's no crime. Which means out of the 10,000 people, the number one township in New Jersey, Bernard's Township, have a 100% no violent crime in their township. 100%. So I said, maybe Jesus Christ returned there and left me here. Now, maybe that's what they're thinking for the rapture, right? That was tied with Warren Township, all right, which has like 0.62% per 10,000 people for any violent crime, which means in Warren Township, New Jersey, that's like 0.62% of any violent crime. I'm trying to figure out, do they have a police department? I'm trying to figure out. Are you mean to tell me there are actual towns where there's no violent crimes? Oh, it's only when Christ returns, when the rapture, or the end of the last days. I said, oh boy. And then you get to Clinton Township, and the crime rate there is 0.77 per 10,000 people. That's Clinton Township. And this is like all like in New Jersey, all right? And then you get to Raritan Township, which the crime rate, the violent crime rate, is 0.90 per 10,000 people. So for every 10,000 people, the crime rate runs to 0.90, okay? And then, of course, you had, that's the Raritan Township. I think I did that one already. And guess what? In this one, you have Sparta. Now, in Sparta, the crime rate is 1.04 per 10,000 people, per 10,000 people, all right? That's Sparta Township. So that means that in each of these townships I just gave you, they're not cities, but towns, per 10,000 people, there's less than one act of violent crime a year. All right. Now, when you do this with Patterson, the numbers kind of change. It's a little different for the city of Patterson, which is kind of deep, right? Because I looked it up for the city of Patterson when it comes to violent crimes, okay? And quite frankly, in Patterson, we have a crime rate of 6.91 for every 1,000 residents, all right? And if you divide that into about 140,000 people, that means we're supposed to, according to the statistic, have at least 145 violent crimes committed in Patterson every year. 145, that's approximate. But in these other townships, there's none. So my thing is, I went to interview this lady again. I said, well, I guess Jesus Christ must have came to that township and rescue all of us, because they don't have the type of crime in that area that we have. Why? They said that these are your top five safest areas in New Jersey. This is another statistic, all right? That means they have the top five safest areas in New Jersey are Rivervale Township, Warren Township, Washington Township, Morris County, Ringwood, and Tenafly. Those are like your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with your top six or five safest areas in New Jersey. And we're not talking about the return of Christ, the rapture, the end of the world. It's just the community and the faith base have it connected together to decrease crime. And they're not using that religious excuse about the rapture or the return of Christ. And we use this as an excuse, like it's okay to feel like this. So when the woman of God told me this, I was like, wow, is this the mindset of the church who thinks the only way things get better if Christ finally returns? Now, let me just make something very clear as I teach this. I do believe in a bodily return of Jesus Christ to the planet Earth, who is going to set foot on the city of Jerusalem and that same body with nail-scarred hands and a hole in the side, but yet the body's going to be glorified. And Christ will come and put an end to death, take our spirits from the cloud of glory and put it in our bodies, recreate, glorify our bodies so our spirit be back in our bodies. And I'll be able to recognize that's Isaac, my dad. That's Brenda, my mother-in-law. That's Reverend Elam. That's Pastor Lagarde. That's Pastor Clinton. Clinton Utterbach. I can see these people. That's my grandmother, and recognize them. If the resurrection does not resurrect the same body, it is not a resurrection. So we are on one accord. I do believe in a coming of Christ. I just don't believe in this other type of coming where he's coming to take us away from this mean old world because things are getting worse, because we don't exegete the text. We don't have a good training in hermeneutics, and we just kind of try to make the Bible say something that aligns with our denomination. But when I studied the Gospels, I'm talking about lowering violent crime rate. When the church is really the church that's called the ecclesia that handles the kingdom message properly, you can see crime rates drop because the kingdom of God is moving in action. And please don't confuse when someone says they're opening the church and having church service. It's the type of church that's on Jesus' mind, because you might be having church what's on your mind, what you think the church is. So my job as an apostle, my job as someone that's sent forward, is to train and teach the church how to bring such an impact to an area that we can see these type of lower violent crime rates in the city of Patterson, where I live. Now, we just had another murder last name Patterson. As you know, in the last couple of years, Patterson, working along with the church and faith base, we've seen a decrease in violent crime. Now, in this past year, 2019, there was a spike, S-P-I-K-E, spike. But in spite of it, we still have worked with ceasefire, thank God for Reverend Boyer. We've worked with some other law enforcement agencies, and we watched great change. And we've also watched some cops that were bad be exposed and some sent to prison. And some lost their ability to be law officers. It doesn't take away from the good ones and the powerful ones that work along with us. So when I talk about lowering violent crimes in our city, hold on. It is possible to be done without all this scripture quoting. And everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you get a community that works together with law enforcement, you can see crime rates drop. But if our mindset is nothing gets better until Christ returns, you go into the game already losing. Now, I shared this story on Facebook, Facebook Live, and I want to share it with you again here. A few years ago, I took a bunch of students to a Christian college, and they had a guest speaker. And we're trying to convince these kids to attend this college, or I'm not going to say the name of it. And so, and the speaker got up, and this was the message that the speaker gave, that the world is getting worse, and that Christ got to come and rescue us from this mean old world, and nothing's going to go better, everything's going to collapse, and it's going to be all negative until Christ returns. And then he's going to turn around and tell everybody that he lives in a nice house, he got a nice big ministry. So I'm saying to myself, man, that's like the wrong thing to say. So you got your house, you got your job, you got to take care of your grandkids, you know, you eat the best of the world's goods, you got a few cars, and my people are struggling in the fight just to live, just to pay the bill. But your answer is, it's going to get worse. So what is your worst compared to my worst? All right? And he gave off the sensation, or gave off the aura, if I can use that term, of that nothing will get better, everything is crashing until Christ returns. So I'm saying to myself, well, you living pretty good? You mean to tell me we can't give these young folks an opportunity to live? Because he had the same type of gospel in his mind that the woman of God that spoke to me had the gospel of, it will get worse until the rapture, until the end of the world. Nothing's going to get better. You know, just the last days, nothing's going to get better. I don't agree with that. And here was the test. On the way home, one of my students said, he said, McDuffie, I'm a Christian, man, but I don't want to go to that college. I said, why not? He said, speaker painted such a gloomy picture. He said, if I want to go to college and get a good job and make six figures and take care of my family and live in peace, you mean that's not possible? Which means the world going to get worse? Then why should I go to college? And I was saying to him, I said, you know what? I'm in agreement with you. I didn't particularly like the message of the speaker. But then I looked at the age of the speaker. He about 78, 79, 80 years old. So he's speaking to the end of his life. But you're talking to 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, fresh out of high school, going to college. You got to give them something to reach for, something to look forward to. You can't preach that message. And that is why a lot of your black leaders who are anti-Christ and anti-Bible does not like the Bible and does not like the type of Christianity that we talk about, because it doesn't help us deal with the issues that are in our communities. And then we got this other thing, just preach Jesus all day, leave the world and sit in the church. And that's not it either. So we got to find what is the example that Christ sets for us so the right message could be carried out and could be advanced in our community. Got to get people to look forward to something. The other day, we took our school over to 60 Temple Street, and it was a program called Unity, Brother Jordan, and also, I keep forgetting the name of the coach where the street is named after over there by the towers there, and the famous John F. Kennedy coach. Yes, Collins. Thank you, Mr. Collins, who's one of the teachers at Great Falls. He has an organization called Unity, and along with a brother named Jordan. And we took like 80 of our students over to 60 Temple Street, and Jordan led a great program with Mr. Collins about how to make people look forward to being positive. Coming out of school, some setbacks, maybe you went to jail. And each of the young men and women that stood up, they gave how they came out of negative situations. They got their own business. They're doing a dance. They're doing rap. And I was so encouraged because they had more of a kingdom message than even the church ministers I sit next to. Because they gave people a hope that there's possible things can be better and things can come greater. But if we got that old time religion that things get worse and things, and everybody's the antichrist, and everybody is the dragon, everybody's the beast, it's like we got a played out message. Who wants to go to church to hear that message of doom and gloom? We want to hear a message of victory, and the kingdom of God has come now, and that we can change our communities. If we can get these type of numbers right now in New Jersey, in Rivervale Township, Warren Township, Washington Township, Morris County, Ringwood, and Tenafly, there's practically no violent crimes. Bernard's Township had no violent crimes. None. Imagine a town in New Jersey where no one got killed. No one got shot. My thing is, did Christ come there? Why don't he come to Patterson? So what does the church need to develop? A better concept of kingdom ministry. One of the things I pride myself on as an apostle and a prophet is to make sure I'm following what God leads me to. Not perfect, but really come out the four walls where the Bible says, go ye and make disciples of nations. And my thing is, wherever the church is not sprinkling salt, wherever the church is not letting its light illuminate, wherever the church is not being set on top of a mountain, that zeroes in on that it does not allow us to be the type of ecclesia that we're supposed to be. Now, I want to read you something, and I read this before, and I want to show you this. If you turn with your Bibles, and quickly, everybody, have your Bibles, please go over to John chapter 4. I'm going to show you this scripture because it speaks to this message that we have that I think is perverted. I think it really robs us of what God is trying to do with the body of Christ. And I have a problem with a type of message where we're running from the devil, we're scared of him, and here comes the rapture and end of the world, and whoever comes out of Russia must be the devil. You know, I mean, I've actually met believers who will not travel to Russia or go any place near Rome because they told me that the beast or the Antichrist is coming out of Rome. Well, I'm not going there. I'm not going to Rome. I'm not going to Russia. You know, the Antichrist. I said, give me a ticket anytime. I'm flying to Russia. It's a free trip. I can stay in a hotel and see the world. I'm going. I'm going to cause revival in Russia because I show up. See, that's hard for people who believe in this type of message that things getting worse, things getting bad, and nothing getting better. But let me show you something. In John chapter 5, Jesus Christ ministers to a Samaritan woman that's really labeled half dogs or fake Jews by some of the Jews that were hanging out with Jesus. So when Jesus Christ is ministering to the Samaritan woman, he gives her a kingdom promise. He says, I'm going to give you water so you thirst no more for the wrong thing. I'm going to feed you supernatural H2O, all right? And you'll no longer thirst for the wrong thing because I'll be a satisfaction. He does not say to her, hold on until I return later, because later on I'll make everything all right. That's not the message. The message is, I meet you at the well, and the water you're looking to quench your thirst is not the real water. I'm the water of life. I'm going to pour the right kingdom message on you, and I'm going to reduce the crime that you are committing. So he ministers to this woman, and this woman's life is changed because the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 2, he replied, if you only knew what a wonderful gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me for some living water. And then she said, but you don't have a rope or a bucket. This is the Living Translation. Good thing to have a reading Bible, not really a study Bible, a good reading Bible. She said, and this is a very deep well. Where will you get this living water? And then she said, are you greater than our ancestor Jacob? So she starts going back to religious history, Jewish. You know, how can you offer better water than this, which he, his sons, and cattle enjoy? So her cream of the crop, she felt that this well gave her legitimacy. This well made her who she was because this was a historical part of the Jewish history. And she's steady arguing whether the Jews in Jerusalem is real Jews or we the real Jews. So she's on some historical, some political argument. When at the end of the day, it comes back to a heart, to what's in the heart, okay? Because the Bible here says this is very important. Because I want to back up. I want to show you what she says. He says in verse 13, Jesus replied, and that the people soon, because after drinking this water, but the water I give them, he said, becomes a perpetual spring within them, spring water, alkaline water, watering them forever with eternal life. Verse 15, please, sir, the woman said, give me some of the water that I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to make this long trip out here every day. Verse 14, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. She said, but I'm not married. He said, all is true, but you have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not married, and the one you're living with, okay, which means you had six. Now you're going to make me number seven, which is God's number for perfection or completeness. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Let me say, why is that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Jesus replied, the time is coming, man, where we will no longer be concerned about whether we worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. For it's not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. It is our worship spiritually, right? It is our worship. It is, it says where we worship that counts, but how we worship is our worship spiritual and real. Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? For God is spirit and we must have his help to worship as we should. The Father wants this kind of worship from us, but you Samaritans know so little about him, worshiping blindly while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes to the world through the Jews. And the woman said, well, at least I know that the Messiah will come, the one they call Christ. And when he does, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus says, I am the Messiah. Now, that's some crazy stuff, right? She's talking to the Messiah. And then she's saying that one day he'll come. She said, and Jesus said, you're talking to him right now. Do you know how many people got the rapture off till later, the kingdom come later, and the kingdom of God is already in our communities, already in the spirit realm, ready for us to access it. But because we have this postponing mentality, later on, someday, one day, over the rainbow, like we're watching the Wizard of Oz movie with Julie Garland, it's like we don't understand that we have power in the kingdom now if we appropriate the promises. That means that if the kingdom is taught and preached properly, we can see a lowering of violent crimes in our cities. It makes no sense for Patterson to have 800 churches on the roll, supposedly, and have a crime rate of over 7% per 1,000 people. That's ridiculous, man. 7% of violent crime. Why? Isn't that because we don't pray enough? Because it's not enough to pray. We have to pray. We have to connect. We have to network. We have to get out there and go into all the world and make disciples. We are the salt, which is the altar. We are the light, which is the luminate. And then God exalts us on top of a mountain, which means he lifts up this church in high esteem that people looked up to us for leadership. And the problem with the body of Christ is she does not have the right message to impact her community. Something Dr. Claude Anderson said to me back in 2013, he says, your religion is no good if it does not impact the issues of your community. He said, if a church is just having church, but it's not impacting the issues of its neighborhood to turn neighborhoods into thriving communities, that's not a church. It's just a club or an empire. And I'm telling you something. We've met certain people. And I'm telling you right now, I've met certain ministries. They don't care about the outside. If the tithes and offerings being paid, if it's being pastor's salary taken care of, you know, I don't care if the rest of my congregation don't have college degrees. I don't care if you don't have better jobs. I don't care if you don't understand the power of how to use your vote. Because for some people, we believe, got a phone call. All right, we got someone that's calling. Who's calling?
Hi, is this Barbara? Barbara's show?
No, this is the Reverend McDuffie show.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless you.
Well, God bless you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Amen.
God bless you. All right. I had a call in for somebody else, but maybe one day we'll get some people to call in. It's 2:30. Let's take a break. We'll come back for our... Come back after our break. You are watching, of course, Might Live, but you're also watching, listening to www.mybroadcastddv.com. All right, we'll hold off on this. We'll keep that going.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home, or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you are looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DDVRadio.com offers programs such as Between Two Blue Balls, Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.
All right, here we go. All right, we're back. Welcome back to www.mikebroadcastddv.com, and also we stay with Mike Live. And I gave you these things because I want to really move the church into a real kingdom message. Now, it's a title I've been using lately because I'm trying not to offend people. I call it Christian Kingdom Christianity. Kingdom Christian. I kind of merge two words together because I kind of feel like sometimes when I say I don't like to be called Christian, folks take that in the wrong manner. And I realize I speak to sometimes carnal babes and young in the Lord. So I don't want to call someone to stumble. So I use a term called Kingdom Christianity because there's a type of Christianity that has nothing to do with the biblical text that's in the Bible. It's what we came up with. And a lot of the things we do in our local churches, there's no scriptural base to it. It's just that you do it in your own local house. Not that God has a problem with it. Not wrong with it. You want to wear robes and wear medallions and bishop. That's okay. That's what you decide to do. God has no problem with that. The only problem I have with it, when other folks don't do it, you seem to try to put yourself on top of a pedestal because you do it. I have no problem with that. Because to each is to his own. Scripture says to some people, one day is above another. And with the other people, all days are the same. That simply means to some people, eating certain foods offend them. To some folk, you can eat any food, it don't offend them. which means to each his own. But make sure he that is spiritual don't try to cause a brother and sister to stumble who is weaker, because that's what love does, is always concerned for its neighbor. That's why for some people, you know, some people say, well, Pastor Mike, you know, since I got delivered, I don't go to no more pools. I don't go to any more beaches because, you know, when you go there, there's a spirit of lust. I said, no, that's just the lust in you. I'm going to jump in the pool. You know what I'm saying? I'm not there to look at the women or look at the men's bodies. I'm just going there to have a good time. But in your mind, it affects you. So there are certain levels of righteousness or certain things that you may understand that cause you to stumble, and that's called personal conviction. Do not turn a personal conviction into a corporate doctrine. If God deals with you on a certain issue, that's between you and God. But what God does with you as a personal individual, sometimes we project it onto others, has nothing to do with us. It has to do with you. All right. So if you hear the truth and it kind of bothers you or it kind of shakes your world a little bit, maybe God is trying to expand your thinking. In John chapter 4, go back there. I'm going to show you that this woman's life was changed because she met Jesus Christ, who was bringing forth what I might call a kingdom Christianity message. And Jesus is not saying, you know what, when I go on the cross and come back, I'm going to come back and take you away from this mean old world. He doesn't say that. He says, I got supernatural water to pour into you to take away your appetite to sin. And I'm going to satisfy it so well you won't thirst again. Ain't that some deep stuff, right? Now, when the disciples saw them talking, because you have to understand the mind of a first century Jew, Samaritans are called half dogs, and there's a racial spirit, discrimination. So if I can go around Samaria and not go through that, I would not go through that. And the only reason I'm walking through Samaria, because Jesus Christ says, I have to go through there. But if you have left it up to the first century Jews of Jerusalem, they would not even go through Samaria because they thought their Jewishness was more on the scale of righteousness versus those half Jews, those Samaritans. But Jesus made them go through that area so Christ can deal with their own racism, their own biases. When kingdom of God comes on the scene, it deals with those flaws, those biases that we try to put off into the rapture. So we don't like a message of dealing with things right now. We like to put them off till later. I heard somebody say, your best workout is the one that you start doing today. Not the one, I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to do it next month. You're not going to do it. Because the best thing when you start today, when you take actions today. And a lot of times we're trying to tell people they can't possess the promises of God until tomorrow. We preach a double type of confusing message to the community. Jesus will make everything all right. He'll turn around. He'll save you. He'll set you free. I said, Pastor, I don't have a job. I don't have a job. Well, Jesus will fix it after a while. No. I don't have a white shirt to go take the interview. Jesus will fix it. No. You got a white shirt in your closet. Go get your white shirt. Take it out. Iron it. All right. Get him a matching tie. I'm going to help you get a job. No, we're going to show how to do the interview. See, I'm training you and equipping you so you can go and get a job. Watch this. Make your own money so you can come off the block selling drugs. Okay. Now you can move from an hourly rate of $10.50 an hour, stay with the company and go up to become $20. Now you're making $25, $30 an hour. Now you can get married, take care of your family. All right. Now you're making about $40,000. Your wife making about $40,000, which puts you over the $75,000 mark, which is the average salary of a New Jersey family between two working adults. Anything above 75, close to 80 now in New Jersey is okay salary to live off of. But without a plan of action, then you continue to do the same old dumb stuff and you keep saying the same old dumb religious lies that nothing changes until later. That's a lie. And sometimes crimes are committed because people can't take care of their families. They can't pay the rent. They can't pay the mortgage. They can't pay child support. How are you like a cop saying, listen, if you don't pay child support, we're going to lock you up. That guy, if he got no other way to pay that child support, he might turn to drugs to sell it. But if the local church understood the power of connecting and networking and training, you might put someone in the car and say, let's go get you a job. Let's go try to get your record expunged. Let's see what we can do. But if the church always feels her goal is to leave here and go to heaven, that is not the correct message. Stay away from this. Don't get involved with that. Don't go here. We're going to pile up here every single Sunday. One of the lies that's taught so regularly, we actually had churches split over Sabbath. So we got folks that will argue whether the Sabbath is Saturday or the Sabbath is Sunday. Do you know that church is split over? We got a whole denomination that's built off of the Sabbath, which means that if you do it on Sunday, it isn't as important as Saturday. And I say to myself, I don't even need scripture. I say, you know, don't God own all the days? I mean, does it really matter what day it is? And the whole thing that makes me laugh is when you read the book of Acts, they had church services every day, temple to temple and house to house. So where do we get off this model of having services once a Sunday or once a Saturday? That's what we came up with as Americans. The book of Acts said they had services every day. So the truth Sabbath is not a day. It's a person. Christ Jesus is your Sabbath. You enter into him as a completed work in Christ, and through Christ you kept the Torah. So now I'm supposed to say, because I've been completed in Christ, I ought to worship him and give God thanks because everything Christ have done for me. And let me tell you something, and a thankful people will end up being an obedient people. And when someone is obedient, they stop committing crime. They don't want to shoot. They don't want to rob. There were so many testimonies that happened at the Unity program down at 60 Temple Street to Mr. Jordan and to the coach again. What's his name? The coach. Mr. Collins. You know, they put in front of the kids' minds yesterday that you can achieve and reach for the better. They did more ministry that 2 hours that I've seen at my school gathering versus some of the ministries I've been around for close to 20-something years. And watch how deep this thing is. One of the guys that were performing, before he got ready to do his rap song, he said, I got to pray first. He prayed to Jesus in front of everybody. He was just so bold. He said, that's what I do, man. He prayed to Jesus and stood up and gave a positive rap song without Jesus' name mentioned. But he did a little dance. And the kids was clapping. And the Lord said, look how Christ is witnessing to a public school. Watch this. And without pushing religion on people, he was letting his light shine. He was allowing his salt to alter, and he wasn't ashamed of his Christ. And each of these men that got up, including some women, talked about their setbacks. One woman spoke. She said she hated college. She only went because her mother made her go. So just to satisfy her mother, she went and got her college degree. She said, I don't even use it. I said, not using it now, but one day you will. But in the meantime, she's pursuing her entertainment career. She's on stage singing and dancing, and she's doing pretty good. So she got a good job, and she got a college degree, and not even working on her degree. She's working on her entertainment. But it's what brings her joy, and it's paying her rent. It's paying her bills. Know what you just did? You allowed this girl to achieve her dream, and she's not out there robbing and stealing and crack dealing. She's bringing a positive change into her neighborhood that turns it into a great community. Now, go back to John chapter 4. When Jesus Christ ministers to the woman at the well, who wasn't well, he made her well. So the woman that wasn't well, that sat at the well, he made her well. And that deep, because she drank of the right water, not the wrong water. And when the disciples saw that her life was changed, disciples said, and let me read what it said. This is so deep. In verse 28 says, then the woman left her water pot beside the well and went back to the village, or which is another term for town, and told everyone, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, see how sometimes the Bible overemphasized things. He didn't tell her everything that she did. He just was so profound in his accuracy of prophecy. She's saying, let me tell you, he told me everything about myself, which means that everything I ever lived for, he showed me exactly who I was. He said, and she said, this man told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see Christ Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat. No, he said, I have some meat that you don't know nothing about. And they said, who brought it to him? The disciples asked him. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of the harvest will not begin until the summer and end 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around you and are ready now for the reaping. Ready now for the reaping. This scripture here totally contradicts the rapture teaching. Take away, leave. Jesus is saying, stop saying 4 months later and now things will change. Things change when you understand the assignment that God's given you. And as you work on your godly assignment, you start picking up the harvest that your grandparents started. The generation before you came prayed for it. You got to go just get the harvest. The problem is we don't have kingdom workers. We got folk that stay up in corners and stay up in buildings and say, we're having church. Yeah, by yourself. We turn the practice into the game. Church service are practices. The game starts after the benediction. So whatever you learn in your church service under the leadership of your pastor, you're supposed to go out and change neighborhoods into thriving communities. And neighborhoods where you pee-pee and doo-doo and eat at. Communities is where people want to live. Stores, businesses, parks, clean streets. Let's turn neighborhoods into thriving communities. Let's turn people who rent apartments into homeowners. Once you own something, don't like graffiti on it. You think I'm lying? You buy a new car and let someone sit on the hood of it. See how that car, what that owner will do. You buy a duplex or buy a nice expensive house or any type of house and let someone be standing in front of it and garbage. You be like, oh, no, don't come over here with that mess. Why? Because you got some skin in it. Our message of Christianity, and please don't get mad at me, but I really don't care, is a type of watered-down teaching that impacts our community not to be the community that she should be. Now, I already gave you the statistics that there are towns that don't lock their front door. There are towns that don't lock their front door. So what's going on with the church? I want to get to something. I'm going to close with something, an example that I was shown by a young person the other day. And why the church is so confined and why the church is so weak. Because we've been confined, all right? We have been have our oxygen sucked out of us. Our fuel source have been cut off. And so instead of us being a forest fire, we become flicker bick. And so every time a little fire, our fire start blowing, someone come on and blow us out. Blow us out. You ever saw the cartoon of You're Sending Me Sam and Bugs Bunny trying to light the dynamite stick? And every time he got ready to light it, Bugs Bunny would blow it out. He keep going further away, and Bugs Bunny and by the time he lighted it, it came back, it explodes in his hand. And mommy, the church, she don't have the firepower to get revival started because she got the wrong fuel. There's no oxygen. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no being led. So the fire has been blown out. The fuel source is being cut off. And there's no ignition. So all those things are off. And I'm like, I read that to you, all right? You need three things to make a fire. You need heat. Let me see what else you need. You need heat. And you also need oxygen. And you need fuel. Heat, oxygen, and fuel. And so what the devil does, he says, let me take away the church's heat. Let me cut off the church's oxygen, and let me cut off the church's fuel. And the fuel is like the word of God. All right, let's take the word of God. Let's give you a wrong type of teaching, wrong doctrine. Well, let's take away the oxygen. That's the Holy Spirit. All right, and I don't want you to get hot. I'm going to keep you cold. So we take away all of this, and so the forest fire that's supposed to burn the whole city in a spiritual sense to be revitalized is now sitting cold by a flick your big message. I'm trying to tell you, man, I'm giving you stuff today that people don't want to tell you the truth, but that's not the road I'm going down in 2020 for KOM. I'm rising up people. I'm raising up people who want to catch on fire. I wish somebody here would catch on fire, catch on fire. Listen, no one catching on fire. There's no ignition. There's no heat, no fuel. What is up with that? I was talking to someone the other day, and I said to this woman, I said, listen, what's the difference between a forest fire in California versus a fire in someone's house? And she said, a forest fire is hard to confine because all the oxygen is every place. It keeps feeding. It's hard to confine it. And so that's why these California fires are dangerous because it can't be confined. But the churches of America, especially where I live at for 39 years, is easy to confine because we're cutting off the oxygen source. We got the wrong doctrinal message. And we think because we come to practice on Sunday, we done did something. Like we want a trophy, I get a cookie for coming to practice. Want a cookie? You said come to practice. You got to take what you got in practice and put it into everyday life when you leave your building. Man, to Jordan, my God, and to Collins, to Principal Moody and Sumter and my teachers. I'm so proud of y'all. I'm so proud because they had Unity sweatshirts, Unity shirts. And these kids actually went to a revival yesterday and didn't even know it because the message of Christ was seeped into the message without saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. They was talking about life and business and aspiration and inspiring somebody. Great. They was turning neighborhoods into community thinkers. Now, I gave you that. That's 2:52. I got 3 minutes. I gave you that today because my attempt today is to lower the violent crime rate in your city or your town. But if your church got an old-timer message, and you know, I'll wait till Jesus comes, oh, later on, oh, one day, someday, over there, on the, I'm like, oh, please, help me. And I do believe there's some folks who got a traditional church message for the traditional folk. I'm not that guy. My thing is, if we got the real kingdom Christianity message, we will partner with police departments, partner with school districts, partner with senior housing, partner with widows, partner with business owners, and get them at the table and start ministering the kingdom to each person. And stop people and stop making folks feel guilty because they're prosperous or they're rich. I learned that the gospel should be taught and preached to rich people also. Rich, middle class, and poor. I think the gospel of the kingdom should be preached to all of them. But if you don't have the right people training you and equipping you, you're going to fall short. Let me give this announcement. I want to thank you for, of course, listening to www.mikebroadcastddv.com, but also listening and watching here at Mike Live. And tomorrow we'll be having our church service at 9:30 a.m. at our gathering. If you're interested in attending, you have to inbox me so I give you an invitation. My service publicly is not an open invitation. I have to give you an invitation to come. Now, I know that sounds strange because you're used to churches open up and anyone can join. I'm a little bit different. I believe in quality leadership, not quantity. So it takes me a while to build quality. I don't mind. Fine. Find somebody else. If you don't like my style of ministry, there are a whole bunch of other ministries. But if you're playing the role with Reverend McDuffie and KOM, you gotta feel drawn. I had a young woman inbox me, said, McDuffie, I gotta come where you at. Wherever you're going, I want to go with you. I said, well, okay, I'm gonna give you an invitation. If you show up there, I know you're serious, but if you stand me up, I said, you won't get another invitation. See, that's different because you used to, everybody got to become a member. There's some folks I lead to Christ and I'm not their pastor. I say, you better off going over to What's the Name's Church. They're better for you. Some people got little kids. I don't have that type of ministry. So you might do better attending my Bible study, but then become a member over there. So I don't mind trading players because I understand the more effective I am if I stay in the center of what God called me to. So if you're interested in attending tomorrow at 9:30, please inbox me for the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. And we're getting ready for Christmas. We're getting ready for New Year's. And it's the best time to get in on this circle if God's called you to join up with us here at the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. And big ups to KOM. Big ups to the Mighty Sons of God Church. Minister Jay, Tuan, Micaiah, my family, all the members of MSOG, even some of you who are not members of MSOG, but you're one of my M318ers, President Crystal, Yaya. I want to thank you for your faithfulness and all my tithers and all my givers and all my supporters. Every time you sow a seed or tithe into what we're doing, I'm praying for you that God bless and keep you. If you missed last night's broadcast about the healing of cancer, please watch it. I prophesy and thank God for those listening here on www.mikebroadcastddv.com and also Mike Live. May God continue to cleanse your body from excess mucus and every spirit of cancer. I gotta go. I want to thank you for tuning in to www.mikebroadcastddv.com, the Mike Radio Show, and also Mike Live. Thank you so much.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home, or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershaw can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershaw today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you are looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DDVRadio.com offers programs such as Between Two Blue Balls, Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.